You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It's the Fri-Yay Cocktail, presented by Anna Glavinsky.
Very, very shortly, I'll be speaking to Paola Checchi Di Meglio. So I do struggle saying her name, but talking about a very, very interesting topic. She's the author of Building a Thriving Future, Navigating the Metaverse and Multiverse. So she's basically a leading expert on technology, leadership and innovation. And her new book is exploring all that and how these emerging digital worlds from AI to the metaverse are reshaping the actual world that we're currently living in, working in and connecting in, and what the future of that world will look like. So we're going to be speaking to her. She's joining me right now to talk about her book and some of these really big but quite fast-paced ideas. Good afternoon, Paola. How are you doing?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, really nice to see you here. So you're talking all about the metaverse and the multiverse. Now, I obviously have to start with the question, what are those things? Please explain it to us in basic terms for those who aren't familiar with it.
First of all, thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to explain what is the metaverse and multiverse. So if we think about it, AI is all around us and AI is our brain. And we need some muscle, and that muscle is some having some infrastructure behind it, all the technology, 5G, and even more. Now, how do you want to experience all of that? That's where the metaverse, multiverse, virtual world are coming in. That's where all your body, all the senses of your body will be embedded into a world that is around you. But don't forget something. You are already using virtual world. Think about taking your phone and looking into a room and you want to put a new sofa, a new table. That's already part of the virtual world. Think about, I want to listen to a concert and I want to be immersing myself in it. You're already putting your headset and you are already there. Or think about your doctor who are already looking at your medical document and being able to drag all the data in and out. So we are already there.
So, you know, we're already there. Going to dive deeper into that very shortly. But what led you to become, you know, an expert in this field and just so interested in the topic?
Well, I have been in AI and big data for the last 20 years. I got dragged in because I have an accent and, you know, the first Siri could not recognize my accent and I needed to take the bus and the train to get to school for my PhD. And I got so annoyed that I was like, what is wrong with this algorithm? And I realized that it didn't like my accent at all because the training model was just on a certain type of people. So that's how I got into the field of AI and big data. And the virtual world is just the next step, right? It's a compilation of everything coming together. And I will say the next level will be quantum computing.
Oh,
that's where we are going. And I'm very excited because I have been able to see that through my lifetime, through our kids' lifetime. And I think it's very exciting.
And so what steps did you take, you know, when you were struggling with Siri, not recognizing your accent and getting frustrated? I wouldn't even know where to begin, where to vent those frustrations.
So let me say it was not Siri, because I don't want to blame one specific platform, but many of them still do not recognize me. So I give up a very long time. My husband laughs about it because I still have a struggle when I'm in San Francisco, trying to know when the subway, when the Muni will be there. But, you know, the struggle is real, because when you think about how technology is being built, you have a very specific set of data. And thank God now we are able to use synthetic data, meaning not real data, but mimicking individual. And here I should say there is a big caution to have, because there are a lot of biases coming in. And we are training those model into create something like a virtual world. But we want to make sure that everybody has access to it, including someone who has an accent and who is trying to get to a concert with a lot of noise behind it. So when you think about all the events that lead me to do more work into the virtual world, is understanding that there are various steps in technology that are coming to our life. We never thought that we will have a phone with a small computer. Tomorrow, the virtual world will be the place where we probably will work, probably will meet. You know, my family is very far away from me. And that's a way in which sometimes when circumstance and the world shut down, you want to be able to be seated around the table and have a meal together. And so all of that is not, I will say, utopic. It's things that are already happening. So let me give you a very concrete example. If you think about a very large car maker, and I will say not just one, many of them, they have manufacturer places in Europe, in America, and in Asia. And you have some engineer technician who need to walk through the manufacturer to make sure that everything is assembled in the right way. And sometimes you need very specific skill and expertise. You cannot have people flying in and out every time there is a problem. But what you can have is having someone walking through the manufacturer, the digital twin in that virtual world, meaning a replica of what you see in the real world, and have the individual assess what is wrong or what is working. And so that gives opportunity to those car maker, for example, to take talent everywhere around the world, as well as providing the quality that they want to have their car before getting into the market. So there is a lot of advantage that come to it. But there is also some warning. Let me be clear about it. I'm not all about, yes, virtual world.
That was going to be my next question, because I'm really picking up on your enthusiasm for it, which, you know, is wonderful and it's really exciting. I can tell you have a lot of passion, but there are going to be people out there that have questions and concerns. So yeah, take it away, please.
And let me be transparent. I am the first one. And that's the reason why I wrote the book. Because I want to make sure that leaders who are in the sphere or who are entering the sphere, and I will say big and large, as well as a small business, know what we are getting into it. Because there are some gaps, and you know, I have been a big advocate for reducing any type of gender gap and ethnic gap that may exist in the labor market. And one of the elements is, if we continue like that, virtual world can exacerbate a gap that we can see. So, and that we're currently experiencing, for example, you know, women getting access to technology and being part of the virtual world. So that's one element. But there are other risks related to mental health. And I think it's important to have a conversation about that, because any new technology will bring good, but will also bring more, I don't like to say negative things, I will say more thoughtful action that we need to create safeguard of. And that's where I want to make sure that the conversation is happening. Because, you know, when telephone come in, no one thought that we will spend so much time on our screen. And the reality of the virtual world is, if you think about it, within the next 4 years, we, in a very, very conservative estimate, we are thinking that a third of the world will be at least 4 hours a day in the virtual world.
Wow.
And the very optimistic view of it is half of the population will be there, spending 6 hours a day. So if you think about all of that, and 4 years, what is 4 years? Think about it.
Yeah.
We are 2025. That's 2021. That was yesterday, at least in my timeline. And that was yesterday.
And so, you know, with that such speed of growth, do you have concerns that just people don't know what we're getting into? Like, we don't know how it's potentially going to affect us.
I think that's a fair point. I think, you know, people have had a full enthusiasm for GPT coming into our life. And we see within a very short period of time, 2 years, when mass population adopt that technology, that we are seeing, I will say, situations who are critical about mental health, about personal relationship and social relationship, as well as work, where people are putting things that should not be into public network, right? So I think we have to be cautious about it, and we have to help and educate people about what is coming next, because we have to be able to take break. So for example, when you are in the virtual world and you are doing a training for your employee, we have seen study after study that the content that you will give into someone for 3 hours can be learned in less than 30 minutes in the virtual world.
Wow.
And don't forget something. When you go to a training, generally speaking, at the end of the day, you remember less than 10%. And 1 week after, even less. So if you think about having something learn in 30 minutes, that also means that your brain have absorbed a lot of information, and you're going to be able to process that information more rapidly when you need to have it pull in. But it also means that it's going to be more tiring into your mental system. So how are we going to balance all of that? Going to be very important for employer, for example, to know and to manage as well the well-being of their employee. So there is a lot of ramification all over that we need to think about that new ecosystem. And, you know, I will give a big shout out to the UN, who, as well as the World Bank and as well as the World Economic Forum, who are thinking about the metaverse, the multiverse, and the virtual system, trying to set up safeguard and legal framework for private and public company to come and be involved in that field and be thoughtful about the future we are designing together.
And you know, what about building connections with people in the metaverse? You know, you said that, you know, a really lovely example, we'll be able to keep in touch with our family, sit down and have a meal. You know, I think this rings true. You know, we're an English-speaking radio station in Spain, so many of our listeners will be in that situation where their families are in different parts of the world. So that's a really, really lovely thing to look forward to, I suppose. But is there a risk of losing real life connections and the I'm going to hold the second question till later. Just that. So about the connections versus online and in real life.
So let me just give you a bit of a nugget here. So you know that when you share a meal with someone, either physically or virtually, you are creating a different type of connection. Okay. Suddenly your bond are stronger and your relationship will be stronger. So, you know, research have shown virtual or in physical doesn't change. The ability to, you know, think that you can have a meal, you know, I will get very personal here. My grandmother passed away, and I wish I was there every day to see her for the last 6 months. And I was not able to do it because at 100, you are not able to be on the phone and talking to your grandkid. The other virtual world, we could have imagined putting a camera, a TV screen, and me being there, being projected into the room, right? Those type of moments who are critical in your lifetime will be possible in the very near future. And some of them, I will say, bit of them are already there. So the ability to share a meal, the ability to say goodbye when you need to someone, or simply the ability to see your grandkid playing in another playground on another side of the world, even with time differences, is something that I think will create stronger bond. Because the world, the diaspora of all human beings is spreading even more rapidly in the last 25 years than it has ever been. So that will give us a way to connect. But we should also not forget that we need those one-on-one connection. So a part of being able to touch someone physically from a behavioral science perspective also allow you to reduce your heart rate, ability to protect yourself of threat or perceived threat. So I will say there are good things, but we still need the human contact.
And do you think that there's a risk of us not being able to perceive in time the difference between reality or virtual reality and real reality?
Well, that's a very good question, because I think, you know, one of the key elements is deepfake, and we are not immune of deepfake as well in virtual world. Let's be transparent over it. What is currently very interesting is children below the age of 7 are able and are better at pinpointing deepfake than us as adults.
Wow. And what is interesting, I did not expect that.
Yeah, but surprise. But, you know, we have more than 25 emotion written all over our face, and children are very good at picking it up and very good at seeing a picture or a video and realize this is not a real one. We don't see what we can see in other humans. The problem with that is that technology is becoming better and better. And so what are the safeguards that we can have for our children, but also for us to be able to distinguish between what is real and what is not real? And so that's where the behavioral science, I think, become extremely useful in my background, where there are steps that I think are important for you to have in the back of your toolbox. So for example, thinking about checkbox exercise. Is it the source? Is it a video that other, I will say, reliable source who have been there for a very long time talk about? And more of those stuff, depending on the topic. But I think this is what we're going to have to teach individual to know what is real and what is not, and have them continue to make the decision over it.
Because there are sort of two things, really, that I have philosophers and the world generally accepts as things that make humans human, which would be like creativity and love. You know, they're two very important things in feeling like a human. Do you think that we're going to start to be seeing people falling in love in the metaverse with non-real, non-touchable, actual humans and actually creating and generating true love?
So what is true love? I think this is a question that, you know, century people have debated.
Yeah.
So I will not enter into it. But the question of love, you know, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual feeling, what I like to say is what is your mind, your heart, and your gut are telling you about someone in the question of love. We do already see with early interaction in the virtual world, but even with human to computer, some already attachment who are already being created by human. Associated that with love is also on a scale to 1 to 10, depending on the research. Some of them characterize that as love, as if you were loving a human being, and other characterize that as a projection of love. So depending which angle you're looking at, There is attachment will already happen. And I like the word attachment, right? More than love, because it encompasses what one individual may think about relationship. Yeah. So yes, I do think that may likely happen.
It'll be interesting to see what laws they pass about that, about who you're allowed to be with. It's a very, very interesting world. But I don't think we have time to go into that. I would like to ask you about the quantum something. Excuse me for being such a layperson here, that you wanted to talk about. I'm really interested to hear what you've got to say about it and your explanation.
Yeah, so, you know, quantum computing is a big word that people heard maybe once or twice in their life and pop up. And what is that? Well, in reality is, you know, if I have to narrow it down, it's pretty simple. Everything that you see around you in AI or in mathematics relate to a one and a zero. That's it. And the quantum computing is ability to compute a lot of complex mathematical challenge and hold that in a very, very small place. That's as simple as that. And so quantum computing will help us solve very complex problems, from, you know, aerospace situation, when do we want to get back people on Earth and there is a mechanical issue, to your car self-driving itself. So it's going to be all over. And, you know, I do think that we are closer than people realize to have quantum computing coming into our day-to-day. I will not say in the next 5 years, but I'm more likely to say in the next 10 to 15 years. And that will be an acceleration at all level about interaction of human and technology coming into it. And I will just make a very close, because I know we are close to our time, you're asking me about love and ability to love in the virtual world. There is the ability to love robots. And we do see that happening more and more. And the power of those robots coming into your life will be even more powered by quantum computing, because you need a very strong memory to do all those activity.
My goodness, it is a whole new world. I think we'll quickly squeeze this one question in because it's all so fascinating. Where do you personally believe the limits are in technology and or this growth? You know, teletransportation, stopping aging, you know, how far do you think that we'll be able to go? And where do you personally think we'll get to, at least within sort of, you know, our lifetimes and the lifetimes of our kids?
So firstly, if I have the magic wand to know about like aging and longevity, be sure I will be the first one to use it. but I do think that we will see even more growth transformation, as if you think at the early of the century, you know, I'm always thinking about my grandmother. She have learned car and electricity. Well, that's what she recalled in her lifetime. What I do think I recall in her lifetime is internet, phone, flying all over everywhere. And that is just in a very short period of time. Now, I do think that in the next 20 years, we're going to see a real acceleration even more in terms of adoption and disrupting activity in our day-to-day life, personally and professionally, with the adaptation of technology. 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And then just finally, because we've talked through all these big ideas and I really appreciate you explaining it so well as well. Your book, what's it actually, you know, who's it actually written for? What's it about? What's the structure of your book?
Yeah. So the book is written for leader, but leader are everywhere, senior and seasoned, and the most novice or the one who are thinking of becoming a leader. And the book is very easy to read. You know, is what is a metaverse? Like, let's debunk all the myth about, is it a science fiction? And then the second part is whatever product or services that you are creating and that will be involved in the virtual world, whatever it is, how do you get the most inclusive product and service that you will offer? And that means bringing all your employee, all your creator, in the back room of creating those worlds. And the third part is showing the widespread of application of virtual world across all economic sector and what are the impact. And the last part is something that is very close to my heart. How does going to affect the labor market and what the future of work going to look like? And all of that is a balanced, I will say, tone and conversation where I explain the enthusiasm that I have about it, but also the warning that we need to be aware about the virtual world.
Thank you. I mean, I just feel like it's triggered me wanting to ask more and more questions, but I guess that's why people need to get their hands on your book. Paola, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for having me.
So that was Paola Checci di Meleggio, and her book is called Building a Thriving Future, Navigating the Metaverse and Multiverse. So if you'd like to get your hands on it, indeed, you can find it on Amazon or the Talk Radio Europe bookshop.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.